This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Authorities in Somerset County, New Jersey, are investigating the death of pop star Mariah Carey's manager's son. Police say 21-year-old Connor McNally was found dead yesterday morning in a converted studio in the family's Bernardsville home after an apparent night of wild partying with friends. Three others were hospitalized, and one remains in critical condition. Prosecutor Wayne Forrest points to evidence of alcohol and marijuana use among the group. He says unidentified white tablets were also found at the scene. Charges are pending following results of an autopsy scheduled for today. Benton Harbor, Michigan Police Chief Samuel Harris today admitted that there are some problems in the police department. Harris spoke to the media after a night of quiet that followed 2 days of rioting in the city. Residents were protesting the death of a motorcyclist who crashed during a police chase. Harris tells local station WDIV-TV that the biggest problem is that most of his officers are, quote, very, very young.
With young police officers, they make mistakes, but the door is open. Citizens are able to walk in anytime and file their complaints. We investigate those complaints thoroughly, and we've not received the kinds of complaints that we are hearing now.
Harris says training the officers is hard because he usually only has three officers and a sergeant on the streets at any given time. The United States Catholic Conference of Bishops meeting is underway in St. Louis. The annual gathering comes on the heels of more controversy for the Catholic Church surrounding the resignation of Bishop Thomas O'Brien of Phoenix, Arizona. O'Brien was arrested earlier this week after allegedly leaving the scene of a fatal hit-and-run accident. Prior to that, O'Brien admitted he allowed priests accused of sexual abuse to continue working with minors.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
There are more allegations today against the troubled police security staff that guards Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. The Detroit Free Press is reporting that the mayor's top guard, Lorenzo Jones, has been removed from his post after allegations that last spring he personally escorted singer and actress Queen Latifah to an illegal after-hours motorcycle club. The controversial club, called the Sons of Zodiac, was raided and shut down last month by officers who say they discovered guns and drugs and wrote 160 tickets. A spokeswoman for Latifah, who was nominated for an Oscar for her role in Chicago, says she knows nothing about the episode.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
A Michigan woman driving on the Ohio Turnpike has been arrested for driving while breastfeeding. A passing truck driver saw 29-year-old Catherine Donkers nursing her 7-month-old child while behind the wheel and called police. Donkers says she doesn't believe she did anything wrong.
There's lots of things that we do that where we put ourselves at risk just by the very fact that I am in a car. And there's lots of car accidents every single day. And I think it would be reasonable to say that even that's a danger.
Police charged Donkers with endangering the life of her child. Donkers says her daughter usually travels in the car seat when she is not breastfeeding. Two upbeat reports about the economy failed to keep stocks from tumbling lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 114 points to 91.79. The NASDAQ was down 28 points to 1648, and the S&P 500 dropped 15 points to 994. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby like us with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags. All ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing war, life's life.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say goodbye to you.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. The program produced, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. And if you're joining us tonight on IE America Radio Network or Sirius Satellite Channel 145, that's Radio Left, radiopower.org or whiterosesociety.org, welcome. Glad you could make it. Just a program note. Joining us tomorrow night will be Mike Ruppert. A lot of you are familiar with Mike Ruppert, his Cop VCIA website, his From the Wilderness website. We're going to talk with Mike Ruppert tomorrow about the secrets of peak oil. P-E-A-K, peak oil. If you don't know what that means, check out their website, fromthewilderness.com, and be here tomorrow night, okay? Also this evening, the Bush, too stupid to be president, is, where was he, Kathy? In Minnesota, trying to talk economics again. So we've got a lot lined up for you tonight. Stick around, all right? We're going to start with a parable. Is this a parable, Kathy, or is this just a tale? Who sent this to me? Ed sent it to me. You ready? All right. Kick back, relax. We're going to start just sort of slow tonight, no high-velocity beginning like we normally do. A wealthy man decided to go on a hunting safari somewhere in Africa. He took his faithful pet dachshund along for company. One day the dachshund started chasing butterflies, and before long the little dog discovers that he is lost. Wandering about, he notices a leopard coming rapidly in his direction with the obvious intention of eating him. The dachshund thinks, I'm in deep trouble now. Then he notices some bones on the ground close by and immediately settles down to chew on the bones with his back to the approaching leopard. Just as the leopard is about to leap, the dachshund exclaims loudly, Boy, that was one delicious leopard. I wonder if there are any more around here. Hearing this, the leopard halts his attack in mid-stride, as a look of terror comes over him, and he slinks away into the trees. Whew, says the leopard, that was close. That dachshund nearly had me. Meanwhile, a monkey who had been watching the whole scene from a nearby tree figures he can put this knowledge to good use and trade it for protection from the leopard. So off he goes. But the dachshund saw him heading after the leopard with great speed, and the dachshund figured that something must be up. Well, the monkey soon catches up with the leopard. He spills the beans about the trick the dachshund played on him, and he strikes a deal for himself with the leopard. The leopard is furious at being made a fool of, and he says, "Here, monkey, hop on my back and see what's going to happen to that conniving canine." Now the dachshund sees the leopard coming again, this time with the monkey on his back, and he thinks, "What am I going to do now?" But instead of running away, the little dog sits down again with his back to his attackers, pretending he hasn't seen them yet. And just when they get close enough to hear, the dachshund says, "Where's that damn monkey? I sent him off half an hour ago to bring me another leopard." Remember, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with BS. Oops, almost did it, didn't I? I like that story. Thanks, Ed. My cynical producer just looked at me and said, "Oh, that was really cute." I love that story. I love that story. When I was a kid, I didn't know that black baseball players, African-American baseball players, were a new phenomenon to the sport of baseball. I guess I started following baseball. I was brought up in Toledo, Ohio, so we had the Cleveland Indians, Detroit Tigers, Chicago White Sox, and Chicago Cubs close by. And it was a great time for baseball in the 50s, 40s and 50s, right? So I didn't know when I was like in the early 50s, late 40s, early 50s, when every Saturday afternoon from every stoop in the neighborhood you could hear a radio. People would be sitting out on the stoop drinking beer, listening to the radio, either the Tigers or the Indians or somebody. And I had no idea at the time that black baseball players were a recent phenomenon to baseball. It just didn't occur to me. I did have several baseball heroes, most of whom played for the Cleveland Indians, obviously. Al Rosen, Herb Score, Larry Doby. And I had no idea which baseball players were black, which were white, until they started telecasting games. I just knew that Larry Doby, who at the time I believe played center field or second base, one of the two, I think it was center field for Cleveland Indians, was one of my favorite players. I didn't know that he was another one of those players who broke the color barrier in the American League in 1947, 3 months after Jackie Robinson became the first black in modern Major League Baseball. Larry Doby joined the Cleveland Indians in July of 1947. He eventually became the second black to manage a Major League team, became a member of the Hall of Fame. He had a 13-year career, All-Star 7 times. He was born in Camden, South Carolina, not too far from the Atlanta area here. In 1950, Larry Doby was a bona fide all-star when he hit 326 that year. He led the American League in home runs in both 1952 and 1954. He had 32 each season. He had just a stellar career. He also played for the White Sox and the Detroit Tigers, and then he went on to coach for the Montreal Expos, the Indians, and the White Sox. He died last night at the age of 79. And when I read the obituary in the New York Times today, I got a rush of baseball over the radio around 1949, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, when I was a real little kid. And, you know, like I've said before, I grew up in a real ethnic neighborhood. It was Polish. It was Italian. As African Americans started to assert themselves, it became African American. There was, you know, Jewish. It was all working class, and everybody would sit out, especially on Saturdays, sometimes on Sundays, and listen to the games over the radio. And when I read about Larry Doby, I read his obituary today. It just, like, you know how you get that kind of sense memory sometimes when you smell something and whoosh. You're right back at your grandmother's house or your aunt's house or someplace, you know. This was like that. I read the obituary today and I thought, I'll be damned. Larry Doby. He had been ill for some time, according to his son, Larry Sr., and he passed away yesterday. He survived by 5 children. And I just want to share this quote from Doby from the New York Times obituary today. First, it says, in countless venues, including the All-Star Game, Larry Doby, quiet and dignified throughout, never lost focus on what he considered the real triumphs of that year, 1947. Doby said, it was a learning lesson for baseball and the country. If we all look back, we can see that baseball helped make this a better country for us all, a more comfortable country for us all. Kids are our future, and we hope baseball has given them some idea of what it is to live together and how we can get along, whether you're black or white. So, Larry Doby. We don't do obituaries on this program very often, do we? But we did two last week. Who was it last week? It was Gregory Peck and David Brinkley. Now it's Larry Doby. From our Manhattan East Side Bureau Chief, Kim, who emailed in, Mike, I am steaming. I am steaming. Now, I know I naturally think the absolute worst when it comes to too stupid to be president, but please tell me, what do you think? A film for Showtime has been produced about Bush's heroism on September 11th. The film shows him on Air Force One, etc., and just making him out to be this heroic superhero. After reading that, as I said, I was naturally suspicious. I decided to do some research on the producer, one Lionel Chertwood. Well, it didn't take me long to find out that Mr. Chertwood is one of the lone conservatives in Hollywood. Okay, that's fine. But the kicker is, he was recently nominated by Bush to be on the President's Committee on Arts and Humanities. Okay, when it comes to Bush, Kim writes, I believe every conspiracy theory. Is it really believable that this film was done without the nod from Bush? You see, this way, Showtime doesn't have to give equal time to whoever will be the Democratic nominee, nor will it be under scrutiny since it's not officially a political ad. Is it me, or does something stink? Please let me know what you think. Am I just full of hate, venom, and paranoia? Regards, Kim, your Manhattan East Side Bureau Chief. What's his name? Chetwynd? Is that how you pronounce it? No, Kim, you're not full of hate, venom, and paranoia. You're just, as far as I'm concerned, a typical American Bush's... In the reign of George W. Bush. What else we got here? Al Jazeera, Jazeera Television said three U.S. soldiers had been killed in Iraq yesterday. Well, today, in an attack by gunmen. It showed pictures of a burning military vehicle. However, the U.S. military command says no, just one died. It was a fourth attack in 24 hours. It was an attack on an ambulance that was transporting a wounded U.S. soldier to a medical facility when it was hit on a highway in southwest Baghdad. About a dozen U.S. servicemen have been killed by hostile fire in the past 10 days. American military commanders in Iraq say attacks on their forces happen daily. One commander dismissed the fighting and the deaths as, quote, militarily insignificant. Militarily insignificant, then I would ask respectfully to somebody, what in the hell are our people doing in Iraq? The deaths of these soldiers is militarily insignificant. Tell that to the parents, or the husband, or the children of these soldiers, 50 of whom have died since Too Stupid to Be President pranced around the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln with his parachute harness too tight around his crotch. Tell it to those parents. Tell it to the wives. Tell it to the children that the deaths of these soldiers are militarily insignificant. Jesus, I hate these people. All right, quick break. We'll be back. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Oh, we have a very quick 51-second film noir for you coming back. You'll have to use your imagination. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
Don't expect me to cry. Wrong reasons you have to die. Don't expect me to die. Don't expect me to die. Don't expect me to die.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want peace. You want peace.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Ashcroft today announced the arrest of a potentially dangerous Ohio truck driver. This guy pled. He was arrested back in May, and the truck driver, Iman Ferris, an American citizen, naturalized citizen, pled guilty. To what? I don't know what the hell he pled. A meeting with Osama bin Laden, I guess, in Pakistan or Afghanistan a couple of years ago. But Ashcroft got out there today in his 1940s film noir style. I want you to hear this. He explains how Iman Ferris was a mild-mannered trucker by day, but by night, a dangerous covert agent.
Secret agent man. Secret agent man.
On any given day, Iman Ferris appeared to be a hard-working, independent truck driver. Working out of Columbus, Ohio, he freely crisscrossed the country, making deliveries to airports and businesses without raising a suspicion. But Ferris led a secret double life. He traveled to Pakistan and to Afghanistan, covertly met with Osama bin Laden, joined Al-Qaeda's jihad against America.
Oh, John, not only are you a singer, but you could write movie scripts. On any given day, Iman Ferris appeared to be a hardworking, independent truck driver. But by night, he led a secret double life. God, the guy makes me sick. Rob is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Rob.
Hey there. Boy, when I listen to John, I think that in another life, he was like a Mexican radio announcer.
I think so.
You know, just way over the top.
By day, he was a truck driver from Ohio, but by night, he tore the wings off of little children.
Scary guy.
Wings off of children, that's good.
If I could digress for a moment onto baseball, I've got a lot of great memories of baseball because
sure.
It was an all-American sport. And it was always assumed that it was the people's sport and that people had a right to be able to get in for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have skyboxes for the wealthy.
No.
And if I remember correctly, all of the baseball franchises were basically given to the various owners with the understanding that they shared them with the public.
Yes, that was the idea.
And that was an all-American idea, and it's amazing how so many people would tell us that it's, you know, socialist or worse now.
Well, it's the same idea of the public airwaves. You know, there was a time when people who secured broadcast licenses did so with a little bit of interest to the population. That they were supposed to educate, entertain, and serve. Baseball was the same way. I'm not big on nostalgia because I like to live in the moment. But I swear to God, when I read about Larry Doby today, it just reminded me of the good times in baseball. To me, the good times in baseball.
Right, and it's another example of the way in which conservatives define freedom as the right to steal from the masses.
Yeah, there you go.
So, anyway, I wanted to connect a couple of dots from yesterday's show.
Sure.
Kathy played a clip of Secretary Rumsfeld where he was drawing the sickening parallel between the use of our soldiers in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And the skirmishes and the problems that we have in our inner city.
Rob, can I get you to hold?
Thank you.
Okay, let me do a break here. We'll come back and we'll cover this. All right.
Okay.
All right. Stay with us. Quick break here. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Dews to damp the watchfires of a nation torn by war.
Kathy, you're going to cost me 1,000 listeners.
She's far too young to die. You can see it in her eyes. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar. Let the eagle
soar. He sings. He writes movie scripts.
Like she's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden shore. Let the mighty eagle soar.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Rolling strikes of janitors have brought cleaning as usual in downtown Sacramento, California, to a halt. Nearly half of the 125 properties cleaned by members of Service Employees International Union Local 1877 have so far been targeted by the strikes, which began Tuesday night. Among the buildings going uncleaned in California's capital city is the Senator Hotel, home to the state Republican Party, the Los Angeles Times and San Francisco Chronicle state capitol bureaus, and many of the capitol's top lobbyists. Bill Camp is with the Sacramento Central Labor Council.
And it's wrong that the capital of the fifth largest economy in the world is having the buildings cleaned by people who make less than poverty wages and no family health care.
Talks broke down a week ago when employers offered the union a 20-cent raise over the next 4 years and family health benefits that would kick in only after 5 years of service.
It's an historic victory for Walmart workers. An administrative law judge with the National Labor Relations Board yesterday handed down the first ever decision forcing Walmart to recognize a union at a store in Jacksonville, Texas. Meat cutters in the store's deli section voted to join the United Food and Commercial Workers Union more than 3 years ago. After the vote, Walmart did away with custom cuts and only offered prepackaged meat, shifting the affected workers into new jobs and effectively doing away with all butcher positions. In his ruling, however, NLRB Judge Keltner Locke says Walmart violated the National Labor Relations Act by refusing to bargain with the workers during the transition. As a result, Walmart must restore the butcher positions in the Jacksonville store and begin bargaining with those workers on a first contract, which would include conditions under which their job duties may be changed.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
There's just one thing satisfying. He's the one who did our dying, and he's waiting in a city in the sky. Now there's lots of folks have been thanking that real joy.
We will apply the immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
27 before the hour. Come on, Kathy, stop with the ash. I'm telling you, every time she does that, we lose about 1,500 to 2,000 listeners. They just tune out. They come back about 5 minutes later. All right, we're talking with Rob in Washington, D.C. Rob, thanks for holding on.
Sure. Basically, the deal is that Rumsfeld is talking about and drawing a parallel between the troops being in Iraq and the work that they're doing there and the danger that they're in to the inner city in this country. And although there's no doubt that Rumsfeld is schizophrenic, to be in charge of an agency where he's putting the troops in danger and cutting their benefits and everything else. I mean, obviously he's murderously insane, but he's not a fool. I mean, this man is one of the most savvy political operators out there with all the years of experience he has.
Right.
And you don't draw a parallel like that by accident. This is not something that slipped out. And, to realize what this obviously means, to realize what these people are planning is enough to, how do you put it? It's enough to give you an involuntary bowel movement.
So your assessment is what they're planning is what? The militarization of the cities in this country?
I don't think there's any doubt that by using the recipe that they are using, by cutting the taxes, by eliminating services, by pushing the country into an economic tailspin, you know, in order to enrich themselves. By doing all these combinations of things, they are creating crises mm-hmm. in these areas. And obviously it will come to a point where if there is enough rioting, you know, they will just simply move the troops in.
Right. Well, this goes back to the whole USA Patriot Act and all the provisions in that act. Plus, as we've talked about in this program several times, it goes back to the 80s, to Oliver North's refurbishing of former military bases for detaining U.S. citizens had there been open protest in the streets against our involvement in Central America. So I don't doubt it for a second. There's one other thing that might be considered where it concerns Rumsfeld's many statements that show his disrespect for the U.S. military, for soldiers. I'm sure he loves the military because it gets him what he wants, but his disrespect for individual soldiers. And that is the fact that when I heard that statement, we played it the other night about Rumsfeld comparing the deaths of U.S. soldiers to inner city deaths or, you know, it's no big deal. Look how many people die in Detroit or Washington or Houston or Atlanta. It further solidifies for me the fact that Rumsfeld has zero respect for human life. He doesn't give a damn. He couldn't care less.
Right. And this is the same recipe of having people like that in charge of our military that led to such terrible things in Vietnam.
Right.
Somebody called yesterday about the Benton Harbor riots,
mm-hmm.
and there was a great column by Mary Mitchell in the Chicago Sun-Times where she basically closed with, again, what makes this all so scary. She said, look, Benton Harbor is like every other struggling, poor black community.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
That's the frightening thing.
That's very true. Rob, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Clint is calling from Dearborn, Michigan. Hey, Clint.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I was calling about that Benton Harbor situation because, you know, being up here in Michigan and going to Chicago, always have gone through that community,
right.
You know, to get there.
Right.
And the Benton Harbor situation symbolizes what America's facing under Bush. You know, it's just an early sign of Bush's. You know, because they've got so much poverty and everything, and that's the way America's heading, that, you know, I just wish that this would wake people up to see, you know, how America's suffering and, you know, this early sign of, you know, of the Benton Harbor thing, you know, it's just
oh, yeah,
too
yeah.
bad.
Oh, sure. We've got a couple of things tonight that we're going to try to get to. Slicing of the formula for student loans. The Pell Grants are being gutted. This is all being done with no discussion for the American public, no discussion in Congress, either the House or the Senate. Again, in order to take care of these massive cuts for the wealthy that Bush is, his tax cuts for the wealthy, it's resulting in, as everybody knows, I mean, if you're paying attention, if you're not dead, if your IQ is over room temperature, especially the people that listen to this program, we know what is the result of these so-called tax cuts, which are not tax cuts, they're service cuts. And now it's Pell Grants. It's educating, providing some financial assistance to middle-income and lower-income families for their kids to go to college, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's driving me nuts with this. And people who most need these Pell Grants are now going to be denied them because their family income of $42,000 or $38,000 is over a new limit that the Bush crime family is setting for people who otherwise could educate their high school graduating kids. So what are these kids going to do? Go to trade school. Okay, that's good. Nothing wrong with trade school. But what about the idea of higher education, i.e. college or university? It's outrageous. It continues. It's going to continue until this bastard is peacefully and legally removed from office, either by impeachment or defeat in 2004. It has to happen. My question is what it always is. Can the country hold on until that time? And I think you're right. I think what's happening in Benton Harbor is just an example. Whatever the triggering event was, the death of the motorcyclist that was being pursued by the cops, it doesn't make any difference what the triggering event was. The fact that the community exploded. Mm-hmm. It's my understanding the unemployment in that town is about 30%. The unemployment right across the that river where the white people live, the unemployment, somebody told me last night, is 3.6%.
Yep.
When you have that disparity, that is such, and I think this is a point you're trying to make, it is such a looking glass, maybe, for America. You've got the minorities or the working class or the poor class suffering these horrendous situations, and then you have the wealthy, which translates mostly white, not suffering. And that divide is getting greater and greater. Jesus, we're going to go back. We're going to go back to the huge income disparities that were occurring in the 50s and 60s in this country, and we all know what happened as a result of that.
Yeah, you know, and I see that every day. You know, driving through Detroit to see, you know, what these people have done already to the city of Detroit and how it's struggling so much. And I'm sure you're hearing about all the problems going on in Detroit right now. It's just just makes me so mad every day, but.
Well, take a deep breath.
Yes, I'm counting.
Thanks, Clint.
Take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. We're getting too fast into warp speed in the program tonight. Let's here we all go again. Blood pressure going up. Just got an email from Mark in Iowa, our associate military attaché to this program. The John Ashcroft singing made him drop his, what was it, Sprite? What did I say, Kathy? His Sprite, his Coke all over his monitor. His vanilla Coke all over his monitor. So let's bring the velocity down just a little bit and talk about the lead editor in the New York Times today. You all know what's happening in Canada. The Canadian an appeals court in the province of Ontario issued a ruling. It unanimously affirmed that, here's what it said, quote, same-sex couples are capable of forming long-lasting, loving, and intimate relationships, unquote. Gee, there's a news flash, right? Who would have thunk it? So in saying that, it unanimously affirmed the obvious and opened the way for Canada to end the bar on marriage between partners of the same sex. Now, final approval of this, this discrimination against gay couples, final approval is expected within months. Already, there are an awful lot of gay couples in the United States that are heading north to take advantage of this reality to get married. Now, Canada has no residency requirements for people who are intent on getting married. So, American citizens go up, get married, and come back. And the idea is, if we're going to honor, which I don't think we do anymore, international agreements and treaties, then the United States has to honor the fact that Canada considers these people to be married. If Canada considers them to be married, then the United States should consider them to be married. But don't count on it in John Ashcroft's America. But the Times says the following. Unfortunately, the United States has a long way to go to match Canada's record of tolerance on this issue. In contrast to Canadian jurists, our Supreme Court is only now considering a ban on the antediluvian Texas law that criminalizes intimate relations by homosexuals in the privacy of their own homes. And far from liberalizing the law of the land as Canada is choosing to do, Congress responded to the gay marriage issue back in 1996 by hastily defining heterosexual union alone as the marriage standard for purposes of federal benefits in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, Vermont, of course, recognizes civil unions. That's not marriage. So, just for the hell of it tonight, I'd like a few of you brave souls to call in and give your opinion on this issue of gay marriage. I know where most of you are going to go with it. I don't want to make anybody bored or your eyes glaze over and go, oh, God, he's not going to talk about gay marriage. Oh, Jesus, there's no issue there. I want to get your opinion, okay? 800-TALK-YES is the number. So we've got six open lines. That means call in, 800-825-5937. And I guess what I'm looking for is your opinion on what Canada has done and whether or not you think there's ever a chance, even a hope, that the United States will get to the progressive point of view that marriage between loving adults is something that gender has nothing to do with it. absolutely nothing to do. Every time Dick Cheney or anybody in the Republican Party, you know, Cheney's daughter is lesbian, Newt Gingrich's sister is lesbian, Phyllis Schlafly's son is gay, Dick Gephardt's daughter is lesbian. I mean, Jesus, what does it take for these people to understand that two adults who happen to say, gosh, guess what? I love you. Let's get married. What's it going to take before the United States ever gets to the point where we can just see that and say, okay, yawn, now let's get on to the important issues? So I just want to hear what you got to say. 800-825-5937. I know this is one of those evergreen subjects on talk radio you're never supposed to do because it is so obvious what the answer is. I understand. But I'd like to hear what you got to say anyway. All right? There are cases right now pending in Massachusetts and New Jersey that could lead to decisions ending marriage discrimination in those states. But as the Times says, and this is a part that just, I don't know, this rubs me the wrong way. The American public is not yet ready to accept marriages between same-sex partners as a natural part of the landscape. And, of course, it begs the question, why the hell not? Why the hell not? So we're at 800-825-5937. Diane is calling. Where are you calling from, Diane?
Vermont? Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to make the point. You just made a statement that even though we in Vermont have civil union, it's not really marriage.
Right.
But if you look at what it is, it really is marriage. It's just given the name civil union. And I believe that they did that so that it would be harder for other people from other states to come up here. And if we called it marriage, they could then go back to their states and have a better legal position to fight on.
Okay. I understand the use of language. I'm not familiar with the Vermont law, as you are. It was just my assumption that a civil union is not equal totally to marriage. If it is, then
fine. I would challenge anybody to show me exactly where it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a semantic thing.
Okay. All right. And I can understand having to use dodgy language in order to validate something that doesn't need validation, but that's what we're about.
But I also think what Canada is doing is very, very, very important because I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find a state in this union to actually put the verbiage on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if Canada is willing to do that, and if this country recognizes Canadian marriages, that will strengthen it.
Yeah, I would think so. I would imagine there's going to be an outrageous backlash by the flying monkey right in this country. It's already begun, of course, but the fact that, for example, the Times came out today in their lead editorial and congratulated Canada in kind of a roundabout way for having the courage to make legal what I get the impression from the Times, and certainly my position, this never should have been an issue of legality. And I understand the state's interest in marriage. I don't think that the state's interest in marriage is as valid as it was 300 years ago or 500 years ago. I don't think the church's interest in marriage is as valid as it was 300 or 400 or 500 years ago. It would seem to me that unions, marriages, whatever you want to call them, two people who commit themselves to each other for the rest of their lives, hopefully, makes sense.
It's a personal thing, and the state does have an interest, but there is nothing that would harm the state in any way. In fact, it may help by sanctioning. Yes.
I would think. I mean, people who are committed to a committed relationship are going to be A, more productive, B, less prone to depression. We all know depression costs the United States billions of dollars a year. They're going to be happier. Don't we want a nice little nation of happy people? You know, that sort of thing. So in that respect, it would seem to me the state has an interest in promoting marriages between adults. I'm not talking about, you know, like in some countries, you're 12 years old, you get married off to somebody. But adults, regardless of their gender, it doesn't make any sense to me. It never
Absolutely,
has.
Yeah.
Diane, thanks for checking in.
I love the show. I just started listening yesterday, and I really, really like it.
Thank you. Spread the word.
All right.
All right, you take care. All right, quick break here. We'll be right back with your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy.
Brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage.
There are people who walk across the street to a neighbor and say, I'd like to just love you for a second.
Disparage, ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try, try, try to separate them. It's an illusion. Try, 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 and you will only come.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese.
humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Five before the hour. We're not going to beat this topic to death tonight, but I did want to get a few comments from folks about Canada's celebration of marriage. Plural, not hetero marriage, not homo marriage, just marriage. And as you know, they have ruled, an appeals court there has ruled that forming long-lasting, loving, and intimate relationships is, the thing to do. Whether the people involved are a different gender or same gender, it doesn't make any difference. JT is calling from Pensacola. JT, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for welcoming me, I guess.
Well, thank you for thanking me for welcoming
you. Yeah. So, well, you made a comment a little earlier that the state has no choice or no thing in this. It's actually just the churches that have a problem with it. You know, it's protecting the holy matrimony.
Right? Yeah, I guess so. And it seems like most religions are opposed to same-sex marriage. I don't quite get that.
Well,
either.
There's a problem with choice, and there's a problem with, a lot of things. Down here south, this is just the most amazing Bible thumpers you've ever seen in your life down here.
Hey, I live in the buckle of the Bible Belt, pal. I live in the Atlanta area.
I think we're more like the zipper.
You know, you probably are.
And there's like an elephant thing hanging out the front that's really whipping people. Anyway, keep in mind, this is the 39th anniversary of actually eliminating things like whites only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today, the 19th of June was the 1964, when that passed the Senate.
That's right.
And frankly, you know, the blacks and whites could not actually even talk to each other, much less marry.
Well, it's only
a short lot time ago, so it doesn't go back 300 or 400 years ago. It is relatively recent.
Yeah, it's my understanding. For example, in Virginia, they just did away with their so-called miscegenation laws. Don't you love that that word? About 8 or 10, 12,
right.
14 years ago.
Yeah.
It's very recent.
There's still huge problems with that in large areas of the South and stuff.
Right.
And
right.
You know, and you know, you have people like this guy on Clear Channel, this idiot, Mark Hyman. You ever seen him?
No, I do not listen
to on all the stations they own, he insists that they run his 2-minute diddle every night. And once a week, he gets to choose what letters are in disagreement with him. So it's kind of like Rush Limbaugh. There's no debate.
Yeah.
Other
yeah.
than people calling in and saying, "We love you, Rush." You know, that kind of shit.
No, you can't say that.
That's
sort of like this program, though. We have the same problem. Hey, listen, there's the music. JT, thanks for checking in.
Well, I appreciate your show.
All right, sir. Take care. Y'all got to watch your language. You really do. Quick break here. If you're on hold, stick around. Want to get your comments on this, then we're going to move. Of course, we'll move on. But I want to hear what you got to say about this particular topic. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. In Iraq, attacks against U.S. forces have stepped up. Lori Yama has more.
On a highway just south of Baghdad, a rocket-propelled grenade slammed into a clearly marked U.S. military ambulance. One soldier was killed, two others injured. The wounded soldier, who was being brought to a medical facility, was not hurt in the attack. In another incident in the town of Samarra, just north of Baghdad, three mortar shells exploded outside a U.S.-run humanitarian office. One Iraqi was killed and another dozen wounded. This comes as the U.N. reports that humanitarian vehicles are also being fired upon and that electricity lines in Baghdad are being sabotaged. Some say the U.S.-ordered dissolving of the Iraqi military is responsible for the violence. Laura Iyama, Washington.
Martha Stewart returned today to federal court in Lower Manhattan. During a brief hearing, the judge set a January trial date for the multimedia homemaker's role in an alleged stock trading scandal. Reporter Scott Salato was outside the courthouse as Stewart left the hearing.
As the domestic diva walked out of federal court with her head held high, she gave a thankful wave and a quick smile to supporters like John Small from Manhattan.
There's a double standard for women in the business world, and I think the government is just picking on Martha because she's rich, she's famous, she's blonde, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Linda Smith from Audubon, New Jersey, held a sign reading, "Stop persecuting Martha Stewart."
They're trying to tear her down. You know, she's already been punished. She's lost millions. And who has she hurt?
Smith says despite the stock trading scandal, Martha Stewart remains a friend to millions of housewives nationwide. Scott Salato, New York.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Political leaders in Ontario are asking the Canadian government for financial help as the rising costs of treating SARS continue to climb. Premier Ernie Eves is asking the federal government to cover 90% of the fees attached to fighting the disease. It's estimated treating two separate outbreaks in Ontario could cost the province an estimated $3 billion. Provincial and federal governmental leaders are now meeting in Toronto to discuss funding. Health experts in Toronto say treating the deadly virus could end up costing Ontario's healthcare system $1.5 billion. It's also estimated that SARS will cost the Ontario economy of at least another $1 billion. Political leaders in Ontario say the province is entitled to the money under federal disaster relief legislation.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Researchers say the brains of shy people overreact when they see new faces. Scientists at Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital tested 22 adults in their 20s. The experts concluded that even people who appear to have overcome shyness have a big reaction in the emotional center of the brain when shown an unfamiliar face. Assistant professor of psychiatry at Harvard, Dr. Carl Schwartz, said anxiety order might be defined as shyness on steroids. He said most children that enter the world with an inhibited temperament find ways to adapt. He said that about half of all adults, when asked, say they are shy in some way. Schwartz cited public speaking as an example. Stocks tumbled lower today, even as Wall Street considered two generally upbeat reports about the economy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average slumped 114 points to 91.79. The Nasdaq lost 28 points to 16.48. The S&P 500 dropped 15 points to 9.94. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We are in the middle of this relatively brief, I would imagine, discussion about Canada's celebration of marriage. As you probably know, an Ontario provincial court, appeals court, opened the way for Canada to end the bar on marriage between partners of the same sex. They ruled the obvious. Let's not make fun of them. At least they had the courage to say it. They said same-sex couples are capable of forming long-lasting, loving, and intimate relationships. Now, aside from the fact that that's excruciatingly patronizing and quite a bit condescending, at least it's a court saying, stating the obvious. Final approval of this law striking down discrimination against gay couples is expected within months. And given the, if not international law, certainly international custom, Americans who go north to a more progressive nation who are of the same sex and decide to get married, those marriages will have to be recognized by the United States. This country is, I've never been any place where an entire society seems more freaked out about same-sex couples than here, unless it's an Islamic country. Usually when you have religious fundamentalism rampant someplace, whether it's Judaism, Islam, I don't know about Hinduism or Buddhism, certainly Christianity, they just go crazy, don't they? The people of the book, because somewhere in the book, it talks about, it makes vague references to same-sex involvement. But it's just, to me, it's been a non-issue, I guess, my entire life. So here the Canadians are saying, look, adults who are committed to each other certainly have a right to marry. Now, it's important, aside from the romance or the love or the dedication, it's important from legal standpoints. We all know this. Inheritance laws. Laws governing next of kin if somebody is critically ill. Insurance laws, health insurance. The state is involved in this up to its eyeballs. So there is a state issue here. As far as a religious issue, it's beyond me. But anyway, that's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about it for just a little bit here, so do join us if you like. Ben is calling, our Elgin, Illinois Bureau Chief, and also the webmaster at whiterosesociety.org. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike. I think that the Defense of Marriage Act they passed a few years ago does allow states to choose not to recognize, non-heterosexual unions from outside their boundaries.
I wouldn't be surprised. The Republicans who initiated that legislation and the Democrats who went along with it, I'm sure they put provisions in there that are designed to do just what you just said.
And the other thing is, why don't we, I think that we're taking a baby step. If we say, okay, now, you may have same-sex unions. There are lots of people in the world who have other ideas of marriage besides marriage involving pairs of people.
Right.
The Mormons, for example, in just a stunning display of religious intolerance, were forced to abandon that in return for being allowed to exist. Okay, they were pretty much driven into the desert.
Right, they were told if you want, and I believe they were told if you want to become a state, when Utah tried to secure statehood, that was one of the provisions, drop polygamy.
Yep, and if you don't become a state, then I guess we just won't help you with your pesky Indian problem.
Right. Oh, God. God, this is a sick country.
Uh-huh.
We're so sick.
But I really think we have to say that we need to have, to the extent that any union is solemnized by the state, and clearly there are some legal things, care of children, estates, et cetera, that have to be, that's an important thing for the state to have something to do with.
Sure.
I think we can't have the state limiting what sort of union people can put together under that kind of protection.
I can understand that, and I understand that you do come from the progressive or left libertarian point of view on that issue. And, I hadn't carried it out that far, Ben. I'm just thinking in terms of a duality, a man and woman, or a woman and a woman, a man and a man, making a union.
I think it's no less a union, and I certainly have known people who lived in various menages with two or three or four people.
I kind of came of age in that era.
I've seen it work. I've seen it, form, lasting unions that lasted until people were, sick and dying and old.
Yeah, I have not shared that experience. I have seen gay couples, both males and females, who have stayed together for, as long as I've known them, in some cases 20, 25 years. My very limited experiences with group marriages or whatever you want to call it, some sort of polygamy is a man with a lot of women. What is a woman with a lot of men? What's that term?
Polyandry.
Polyandry.
Yeah.
I have never seen those unions actually work over a long term. Not that I've been exposed to that many, but one of the reasons is what we are all cursed with, and that is exclusivity and a form of possessiveness, although we all try to rise above it, don't we?
And I think ought to.
Yeah, well, we probably should. But as you brought up, there are certain issues that, in certain circumstances, demand such close attention, like child rearing, whether it's adopted children or children who come down the birth canal.
And it's for that reason, though, because the fact that we fail to solemnize these unions in law does not prevent them from happening.
Well, that's true.
And they do happen, and they exist. All you far right wingers out there, sit down. There are these kinds of marriages. They exist. They're all over the landscape in this country. You probably have a neighbor who lives in a relationship like that, within a mile of you.
Mm-hmm.
And to deny that they exist and to just create problems when things happen, like folks become sick,
mm-hmm.
or there's a child born, whose estate does the child inherit?
Sure.
To allow them to exist without having the underpinnings of law is to create a social problem.
That's right. And it creates its own unique form of chaos.
Exactly.
Good points. Thanks, Ben.
Take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Madeline is calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Madeline.
Oh, Canada.
Right.
Hey, Mike, I don't mean to turn your show into Disney World in June, but obviously this is a very important topic in my life, and I'm going to get uncharacteristically serious on it.
Okay.
Let's set aside for the fact right now that according to most states, as a transsexual, I'm not even legally considered a woman, but I'm also a lesbian, in addition to being transsexual. And my partner died over Christmas. Now, I'd been with her for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not get next of kin status. I could not get the state. Now, unlike me, she had been excluded from her family
mm-hmm.
for years and years, 20 years.
Right.
I actually had to wind up spending 2 weeks getting the state to surrender her body to me so I could undergo proper funeral arrangements. I had to persuade a girlfriend of mine, a quote-unquote real woman, to pose
mm-hmm.
as, quote, his fiancé
mm-hmm.
in order to track down a long-lost sister to get next of kin signed over to her
so that
I could take care of the burial arrangements.
Oh, my God.
And I mean, we're talking about a basic human rights thing here.
Mm-hmm.
It goes well beyond things like love and marriage. I mean, you know, you can share a home with anybody that you like. Fortunately, the state hasn't interceded in that, even though Santorum is certainly gunning for it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get down to practical matters like, gee, you know, who gets to honor the body
right.
upon death, you know, I had to go through the humiliation of, you know, getting somebody else to fulfill my role.
It must have been hell.
It was hell.
It must have been awful.
It was hell. You know, and, you know, 2 weeks my baby is on ice
mm-hmm.
while I'm going through hell.
Aye.
So, I mean, if your listeners aren't already convinced, and I realize this is a forum where I'm essentially preaching to the choir, there are very, very practical matters to consider in same-sex unions.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And there has to be, like our caller from Vermont pointed out, the same-sex unions up there are just in everything but word, the same as marriages.
Well, on that note, go Dean.
So again,
I'm a big Dean supporter.
Right.
I like Kucinich a lot, you know, and I certainly wouldn't complain if he got the nod, but more and more I'm looking at Dean over that particular issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, there has to be legal protections for people who do decide that even though they may be the same gender, they're going to form a lasting, as lasting as you can form. I mean,
well,
what is it?
12 years unto death is a pretty long time.
Right. You know what? 50% or more of heterosexual marriages end in divorce. So, you know, as long as can be reasonably expected, if people want to get together and declare themselves married, there should be some sort of state sanction, I do believe, and for all the reasons you brought up, for the reasons Ben bring, for the reasons most people bring up. There are legal implications when two people live together, and they don't all center around death. They center around all sorts of things. And it's amazing to me that we are so ass backward in this country that the thought of two women or two men living together in wedded bliss somehow just gives the screaming willies to people who have the power to prevent that.
At times I laugh over the fact that I'm probably, as a transsexual lesbian, John Ashcroft's worst nightmare come true.
I'm sure you are.
But
I'm sure you are, Madeline. Hey, listen, we got a boogie.
Okay, boogie
Thank
on
you.
Down.
All right, appreciate your call. Quick break, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
In the name of terrorism. Now you wanna buy my rack. It's funny, I never hear about Osama no more. You created a new war. Trying to finish what daddy started. More blood for oil, genocide and turmoil. Since you stole the 2000 election, you've been campaigning for combat like it was your first erection. You were big, ready to poke at everything that opposes America's lie of liberty and roses. If the CIA would inflict the U.S. with crack, I wouldn't be shocked if they planned the 9/11 attacks. And wasn't your father the head of that organization? I think we need an investigation. I'm just saying, who's benefiting the most from this mayhem? The Constitution lays bloody in the devil's den, while fragments of freedom are being tossed in the wind. Genocide continues to be an American trend. Let me live how I wanna, let me die.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Let's hear it for Ed Rosenthal. He's a marijuana grower. But before you can say drug dealer, let me say that he grows his marijuana to be sold for medical purposes, supplying patients under doctor supervision and who need the medicine to treat severe and chronic pain, cancer-induced nausea, and other ailments. Providing medical marijuana for these patients, many of whom are terminally ill and have no other medicine to ease their agonies, is not only humane and medically sound, but it's also perfectly legal. In 1996, the people of California voted to okay this use of the cannabis plant. In 2001, however, George W. chose John Mad Dog Ashcroft to be the U.S. Attorney General. And this super pious right-wing extremist has zero respect for the will of the people. Asserting his personal bias over states' rights and democratic choice, the authoritarian Ashcroft is on a prosecutorial crusade against California and the eight other states that have passed medical marijuana laws. Saying that his views and the federal law preempt state law, Ashcroft's agents have been going after people like Rosenthal with a vengeance. In a perverse Orwellian twist of justice, the feds convicted Ed by refusing to allow him to tell jurors that he was operating within state law. Jurors later angrily said they would have acquitted him had they known this. Now the good news. Instead of 100 years in prison and a $4.5 million fine, as the absurd federal law allows, the judge only assessed a $1,000 fine and one day in prison for Ed. Rosenthal will now appeal this silly conviction itself, and his case has become a rallying point for all of us who think this federal law is an anti-American assault on our basic liberties. Yet Ashcroft is as arrogant and autocratic as ever. As one of his agents said of Ed and us supporters of common sense, we are not listening to them. This is Jim Hightower saying, and that's exactly what's wrong with national drug policy.
Get up, stand up, get up, stand up,
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Okay, a couple more calls on this gay marriage issue, and we shall move on. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Good evening, Mike. Glad you got your voice back.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, John Ashcroft's worst nightmare is a transsexual lesbian with a calico cat.
Right. Oh, God.
On to the more serious stuff.
Don't forget the exposed nipple.
Oh,
yeah.
I try not to.
Yeah, okay.
To the extent that, churches perform most of the wedding ceremonies, mm-hmm. and this is a little bit legal geeky, but bear with me, for the state to limit marriage to heteros is, ought to be a violation not only of the First Amendment, but of equal protection as well.
You would think.
And I would expect that perhaps some of the more progressive states could challenge it on those grounds under the state constitution as opposed to the federal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, moreover, when the state denies this descent and distribution, say, your partner dies without a will, you should take under intestacy, but intestacy won't let you because, you might happen to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a clear violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution.
Right. Right.
And moreover, where the birth of children is concerned, it also violates a very fundamental tenet in almost all states in the U.S. insofar as most states have statutes that say the state will not countenance bastardy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's I don't know what the actual court holdings have been on this, and I don't even know if it's been to the Supreme Court or not. Do you?
I do not. I know the last Supreme Court decision I was aware of in this country was the one from Georgia that ruled
Bowers versus Hardwick.
That's it. That ruled that private consenting adult behavior in the privacy of someone's own home is still illegal. And I think it was Potter Stewart who ruled in favor of that, who said later that he wished he had not. That was a 5-4 decision, and his vote would have swung it the other way. I think it was Stewart who said he regretted, when he retired before he died, he said he regretted that decision.
But, you would think that it appears that there are a number of challenges, and especially when these wingnut religious wackos get up and start talking about how God don't want them faggots to get married.
Right, right. He just wants to see them burn in hell.
Yeah, well, they're only destroying their own argument from the legal standpoint, because that makes it very, very clear that the statutes of any given state are primarily made in as a respecter of some religion.
I know. There are so many constitutional challenges, you would think this would not be an issue, period. But tell me somebody of prominence in this country, a heterosexual, especially a politician, who's going to raise the issue on the basis of these 4 or 5 points you've brought up here. They're not going to do it because of political suicide.
Well, I'd like to hope Kucinich will have that kind of guts.
Let's hope it happens.
Because he's made some gay-friendly statements out there, and it's not. But the thing is, Mike, it's not gay-friendly. It's human being-friendly.
Well, amen and amen. I hear you loud and clear, pal.
You have a great night, Mike.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate you checking in. Our Brookings, Oregon bureau chief is calling in. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, one question about Canada. I want to know: are Catholic priests allowed to have a sex altar boy?
Now, come on, Joe.
I don't believe in discrimination of any kind. But, the main problem seems to be married couples get all these, economic benefits and everything that other people don't get,
Yeah.
That's a complaint about the gays getting married. Because I had this discussion with one of my older brothers, as a matter of fact, on this subject. And, simple solution to that is just, just quit giving all these benefits to married couples. Just all together, in my opinion, most Americans are probably too stupid to get married. And certainly, a lot of them are too stupid to have kids. Anyways, I don't believe in the idea of giving out a bunch of benefits for married couples. Anyway,
I know you don't.
Yeah,
but that's just you, Joe.
Well, I think that would take care of a lot of the problem. That would knock out the one of the main arguments of the religious right on this issue. Bring it down to a money issue. They don't want to talk about what's really going on.
I know. This is one of the reasons you're our Brookings, Oregon bureau chief. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you checking in.
Ha!
I hung up before he did. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
She has a girlfriend now. She has a girlfriend.
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A dozen new children's mystery books turn readers into environmental detectives. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Kids often find lectures hard to swallow, but a good story works every time. That's the idea behind a new series of mystery novels by Gloria Skrzynski and Elaine Ferguson. National Geographic commissioned the books called Mysteries in Our National Parks. Each of the 12 stories is set in a different park, and each involves a threatened or endangered species. Skrzynski says young readers learn a lot about natural history, environmental problems, and survival tips wrapped in compelling mysteries.
That was the whole idea of putting these books together, to reach out and bring excitement into the stories, but also have them factually based. You want to entice the kids to read them and perhaps a little bit unconsciously absorb what the message is, to protect our public lands and be careful, particularly of the wildlife.
The mystery series revolves around the adventures of a fictional family that includes a 13-year-old boy and an 11-year-old girl. Each story is based on a real event that happened in a particular park. For example, in Cliffhanger, a cougar has attacked a hiker in Mesa Verde National Park. The family tries to figure out why the animal had lost its natural fear of humans. The story also probes the disappearance of an ancient Hopi Indian culture. Skrzynski says she and Ferguson interviewed naturalists, rangers, and police to develop each story, and she says they came to appreciate the diverse beauty of America's parks. The Mysteries in the National Parks, the first fiction ever published by National Geographic, are designed for kids between 8 and 13. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Got the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. A couple more items here. Let me drop into the mix, then back to your phone calls. You know, college students, there are so many students in this country that depend on financial aid, either loans, which is horrifying, or government grants. We're talking about government's interest in seeing that people are in stable relationships. There is an interest there, not the interest that our government seems to put on that those so-called relationships, stable relationships. But where it concerns education, is there anything that a society can invest in that is more important than the education of its citizens? Maybe the health of its citizens, but doesn't health follow education? So it's another one of those issues where George Bush does it again. You know, the lying little punk with this No Child Left Behind, which, oh, don't these slogans just play so well with the terminally gullible in this country?
Oh, George is just so interested in education.
He's about as interested in education as I am in leprosy. But now, under federal rules that were imposed late last month that required neither congressional approval nor public comment of any kind, millions of college students now are going to have to take on some added expense, thanks to Bush, thanks to his screwed up, messed up economy, thanks to his mishandling of the economic health or sickness in this society, thanks to his huge tax write-offs to his supporters. The changes that are going into effect, according to the New York Times, are expected to diminish the government's contribution to higher education by hundreds of millions of dollars starting in the fall of 2004. Now, I don't remember this being debated. Do you? Did we see this on Lou Dobbs' Moneyline? Did Peter Jennings talk about this? How about on Nightline? Would anybody on Wolf Blitzer's program bring this up? No, I don't think so. Now, these new rules will have a ripple effect across almost every level of financial aid. It will shrink the pool of students who qualify for federal awards. It will tighten access to billions of dollars in state and institutional grants. And in turn, it will heighten the reliance on loans to pay for college. Who wins there? Huh? The banking industry? Some families are going to find that they're going to have to pay as much as $1,000 or more to send their kids to a state college or a state university, thanks to Bush. The dean of financial aid at Amherst College said that this has serious consequences. This will have serious consequences on the individual student. Well, duh! Many college administrators are characterizing this change as a backdoor way to cut education spending without public discussion. So again, as we ask on this program damn near every night, how much longer, how much more of this do we put up with? The president of Human Capital Research says, in the scheme of things, it may not always seem like a lot of money, these grants, but in aggregate, there's no question that we're talking about a swing of billions of dollars taken away from education. Now, George Bush is the most uneducated punk ever to sit in the White House. Don't talk to me, of course none of you would, about his phony little fake-ass MBA in whatever college sucked him in because they had to. This man is stupid beyond belief. And it's not, I'm not talking about ignorant. Ignorant is curable. This man is stupid. Stupid is terminal. He has no respect for education, not in himself, not in his family, not in anybody in this country. The changes are going to shave off hundreds of millions of dollars, according to the New York Times, in grants to low-income students, those, you know, the Pell Grants. Hundreds of millions of dollars to get educated, to join the middle class. You know, every night we have something here. Now it's education. It's public health. It's the environment. It's job security. It's just, God, it never stops with these people. Never, never. It's like they're hell-bent. These people being the Bush crime family, hell-bent on wreaking as much damage on this society as they possibly can. I don't get this. Except that's why I call them insane. Sane, rational leadership does not do this. Now, regarding the Pell Grants, because the size of each Pell Grant is tailored to a family's discretionary income, I have two children who use Pell Grants to get through school. But because it depends on a family's discretionary income, the formula, the changes in formula that the Bush crime family have put into play will result in smaller awards for some of the almost 5 million recipients of the program. Some recipients will stop getting grants altogether. The president of Mills College in Oakland, California said, quote, there is a major possibility. I'm sorry, there is a major accessibility crisis looming in higher education, and this will only exacerbate it. They just don't stop, do they? One thing after another. You want one more? The EPA report that left out the data on climate change. Did you hear about that? In case you hadn't, the EPA, this is one of Christy Whitman's last little unconscionable acts before she leaves. The EPA is preparing to publish a draft report next week on the state of the environment, but after editing by the White House, a long section describing the risks from rising global temperatures has been eliminated.
Now, I ain't going to talk about that.
The report was commissioned in 2001 by Christy Whitman. It was intended to provide the first comprehensive review about what is known about various environmental problems, where presently, I should say currently, gaps in understanding exist and how to fill them. What is the responsibility of government? For Christ's sake, what is the responsibility of government? Is it not to address issues like this honestly, based on science, fundamental stuff? We are talking about the ability to breathe. We're talking about the survivability of the human race. And I don't give a tinker's damn what the pig man talks about. Well, it's all cyclical. No, it isn't. Not this. Now, the editing ordered by the thugs in the White House eliminated references to the, what, dozens, scores, hundreds of studies that concluded that global warming is at least partly caused by rising concentrations of smokestack and tailpipe emissions and could ultimately threaten human health and ecosystems. Oh, get it out. Get it out. Among the deletions were conclusions about our contribution, human contribution to warming. And it comes from a 2001 report on climate by the National Research Council, real scientists, that the White House had commissioned and that Bush endorsed in speeches last year. The lying little rat bastard. Oh, we're going to have the scientists, the Natural Research Council, come out with and they came out with a report. And the report was scathing. And what did the Bush crime family do? They suppressed that report. Parts of that report were to be in this EPA report. Now they've been eliminated. The Bush crime family also deleted in the EPA report that's coming out next week a reference to a 1999 study showing that global temperatures had risen sharply in the previous decade compared with the last 1,000 years.
Well, that's junk science, Mike. You know, Jesus said that...
See, that's how it goes, isn't it? In place of that part of the report that talked about the rise in global temperatures over the past 10 years as compared to the previous 1,000. Do you know what they put into the EPA report? A new study funded by the American Petroleum Institute that challenged the conclusion that temperatures have risen in the past 10 years to a far greater degree than the previous 1,000. The American Petroleum Institute. Now, there's an organization that really cares about cutting emissions into the atmosphere, right? Pell Grants, health care, environmental issues, the survivability of the damn planet, Kyoto Treaty. It doesn't matter. So I ask again, rhetorically, uselessly, how much longer do we allow these scum to be in office before we put them out? And the hapless Christy Whitman, she said she's perfectly comfortable with the edited version. Perfectly comfortable, are you, Ms. Whitman? Are you? Is that why you resigned? What happens if your grandchildren, Ms. Whitman, develop asthma or choke to death or can't breathe? What happens if your aging mother, if she's still alive, Ms. Whitman, has to hit an inhaler every 2 or 3 hours and eventually has a heart attack because she's too old to be hitting an inhaler, but she can't breathe anymore? Okay. Deep breath. Bruce is calling from Anniston, Alabama. Bruce, welcome to the program. I understand this is your first time calling.
Yes, it is,
well,
Mike.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. You had asked earlier about the Bush crime family and where they were coming from and that they might possibly be insane, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to me, it seems pretty obvious that they want to keep the working class in some type of subservienthood, and they want to take it back, you know, to maybe the way it was prior to 1900, where...
Back to the Charles Dickens era, back to the 1840s?
It seems to me, you know, strip all the... Well, they're not even entitlements, like you were talking about, you know, things that would help the lower class attain what was the middle class, which really is not there anymore, you know, have some hope for their children and that sort of thing. But
the question I've had about this, and maybe you have an answer, Bruce, what do these slime balls gain by making this a worse society than when they got their filthy hands on it? I don't know if you were a Boy Scout. I was, and I was taught always leave your campsite better when you leave than it was when you found it. Now, you can apply that basic rule to so many different situations. Why are these people coming in and destroying what was handed off to them, making sure that things get worse rather than better? Do you have an answer for that?
Well, the only thing I can think of is, I was a Boy Scout, and the only thing I can think of is just absolute greed and that the fact that they really don't care.
But even if we factor in greed, this is the part that staggers me, Bruce. Even if we factor in greed, if you have an uneducated population, if you have a population descending into despair and eventually chaos, if you have a population that doesn't have access to health care, then considering all these, where are you going to get the workers? If you don't have the send all the jobs to India or Indonesia? Where are you going to get the workers? Where are you going to be able to fulfill your greed if you don't have healthy, happy people to work in the capitalist system?
Well, good point. I don't know if I have an answer. I'm not even sure they have thought about it to that point. I just think that they are just so overwhelmed with
incompetence.
Well, that maybe, but I don't know. Sometimes it seems to me like things are too well orchestrated to be just, you know, fumbling along.
I think they're aliens. I really do. I think they're aliens. They're from some parallel dimension about six steps over. These people are not human. If somebody has a more rational explanation, I'm certainly open to hear it. You know, for me to sit here every night and say they're insane, that's one thing. For the Bush crime family to show instance after instance, I don't care if it's here, Afghanistan, Iraq, the European Union, South America, Latin America, every single thing they do is screwy beyond belief. It is counter to the best interests of not just Americans, but people on the planet. So I sit here and say they're insane. The only other explanation is they are not human. They're from a different dimension. If we could see them as what they really are, they would be like huge caterpillars or crawly things, you know, with tentacles all over. That's the only thing I come up with. You got anything better?
No. I think I sometimes, in my worst despair, I think I agree with you. I just sometimes it just boggles my mind, and then, you know, you hear on the news all the things that are happening, and I know you've already touched on the one about the report on global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it just seems like every instance these things come up, they take it out because obviously it affects
their contributors.
That's correct.
And
so this is just something they want to do. And then, as you've pointed out a number of times, I'm amazed by the lack of news coverage. We have went almost entirely to the computer, you know, the Guardian and the other English newspaper. I forget which one it was now. During the war,
mm-hmm.
We read that so we would know what was going on.
Right.
And so.
Well, you know, I'm happy to see that the Washington Post, New York Times, L.A. Times, Chicago Tribune still publishes articles like this. because that's where I got it from, the New York Times. But I think the only thing that Americans should be focused on right now, really politically, is to get these bastards out of office.
I agree with you.
To just let them go do their oil games and just get them out of a position of power and governance, because they are obviously incapable. Bruce, thanks for checking. I hope you're going to call again.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate the work you're doing, and keep it up. Okay?
All right, sir. Thanks. Good to hear from you. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Any collective approach is one based upon sound science and not based upon science.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now, 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now, 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Show.
I think we've got somebody that might have the final word on all of this. It's Bob from Fargo, Alabama.
And we've got a full-scale fascism plan for America. We've got enough power now that we fascists are not afraid to come out of the closet. We openly love fascism because it's okay to have unlimited corporate welfare, but it's not okay to have any public welfare. Do you know why?
Why?
Why, Bob?
You don't ask me why. You don't talk back to me. Because I'm head of corporate dads in America. And you don't talk back to me because I'm going to be taking care of you on the New World Order slave plantation. Because I'm your big brother, corporate dad.
Well, all right, Bob. I always like to give conservatives a fair shot.
Especially really angry ones.
Yes.
The Peter Werby Show. Weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Ta-da!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time. Followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 2 p.m. Then the Peter Werby Show turns up the heat a little bit from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7. Followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
About five before the hour, Pierre, or as he likes to be called, PC, sent me an email regarding that story about the changes in the EPA report not being on the news. PC writes in, ABC Television did that story on this evening's news. However, they left out the part about the Petroleum Institute, a report by the Petroleum Institute being substituted for a report by scientists. PC writes, ABC showed copy of sentences stricken and changed by the White House. Example was a statement by the scientists which said global warming was increasing at an even faster rate and a likely result of emissions from factories and cars. So that was taken out. And to their credit, ABC showed that had been taken out. I just wonder how many people watching ABC News tonight could, what's the current phrase with so much cachet, connect the dots and realize that this meant that their children or themselves or somebody, as their DNA makes its way over the next 50, 60, 100 years, somebody in their structure, their DNA structure, wouldn't be able to breathe. PC says, ABC said this was the second time in a year the White House had EPA change global warming texts in official documents. Thanks, PC. That surprises me. Who owns ABC? Oh, Disney, that's right. The gay days, people. Don't even start again. Don't even start again. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike. Well, one of the stories, like you say about that we, you know, used to hear about when we had a free press was this story I'm reading now. It's Eric Bohart, in Salon, about the Bush 9/11 cover-up.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Somebody sent me a link to that. I'm going to read it as soon as I get a chance. I always get that free one-day pass so I can read the damn thing. Yeah, somebody sent me a link to that.
And, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, this past week they had all these stories about Mr. Mueller meeting going to the ACLU meetings. But it's amazing how there was almost no coverage of the fact that he met with the 9/11 families for like 2-3 hours. And apparently most of them are just downright PO'd at them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and they have every right to be when you read this story. I mean, it is just amazing.
Yeah, well, the Bush crime family doesn't care about somebody suffering. They don't care if soldiers die. They don't care if civilians die. It doesn't make any difference.
Well, like at the end of the story, the part I love was they talked about the Titanic happened.
Mm-hmm.
Within a week, they had the investigation going.
December 7th, sure.
A week later, they had an investigation going.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it with the 911 because...
Well, 911, 15 months later, they finally said, okay, you can do it.
Yeah, but no money to do it.
Yeah, no money, and apparently they've got a report that they've tried to black out almost every page of it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we got a boogie. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Luke. Quick break here, folks. We'll be back, and we'll have some sound for you. Stick around.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
as you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
on the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. There are reports the Reverend Jesse Jackson has arrived in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Responding to these rumors, Benton Harbor Police Chief Sam Harris says people like Jackson or Al Sharpton are welcome in the small town, but warns them to watch what they say.
We have no facts that the Reverend Jackson or Al Sharpton will be coming. I can't say that they should not come, but I think they should definitely control what they say and how they say it. We don't need anyone inciting any more problems here in Benton Harbor.
The city, which has a history of racial tensions, was the scene of violent altercations after a black man being chased by white police officers died during the chase. Officials said he was traveling at a high rate of speed on a motorcycle when he slammed into a house. All was quiet last night, due in part to rain and heavy police presence. Police hope for another quiet night tonight. A Florida podiatrist apologized to the Islamic community as he was sentenced to more than a dozen years in federal prison for plotting to blow up an Islamic center. Prosecutors said Robert Goldstein planned the attack by way of retaliation for September 11th. He was charged with conspiracy to violate civil rights, attempting to damage religious property, and possession of unregistered firearms. He was arrested in August when police found an arsenal in his home near St. Petersburg. Investigators also found a detailed plan for attacking specific Islamic centers and mosques around Florida. The United States Catholic Conference of Bishops meeting is underway in St. Louis. The annual gathering comes on the heels of more controversy for the Catholic Church surrounding the resignation of Bishop Thomas O'Brien of Phoenix, Arizona. O'Brien was arrested earlier this week after allegedly leaving the scene of a fatal hit-and-run accident. Prior to that, O'Brien admitted he allowed priests accused of sexual abuse to continue working with minors.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
The leadership for the United Transportation Union, or UTU, has called for a strike authorization even though they're negotiating with the MTA in good faith. Steve Gonzalez has more from Los Angeles.
An MTA bus driver strike would have a severe impact on mass transit in the L.A. area, just as it did 3 years ago. The MTA's Mark Lippman doesn't believe it'll go that far.
We're trying to offer all of our employees, you know, a fair package, but we have to also balance the needs of our customers and our taxpayers, too. So the MTA is in a much more austere financial situation because of the state budget crisis and because of the economy.
He believes the UTU is just alarming commuters by going public with this information. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief. Better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
A Michigan woman driving on the Ohio Turnpike has been arrested for driving while breastfeeding. A passing truck driver saw 29-year-old Catherine Donkers nursing her 7-month-old child while behind the wheel and called police. Donkers says she doesn't believe she did anything wrong.
There's lots of things that we do that where we put ourselves at risk just by the very fact that I am in a car. And there's lots of car accidents every single day. And I think it would be reasonable to say that even that's a danger.
Police charged Donkers with endangering the life of her child. Donkers says her daughter usually travels in the car seat when she is not breastfeeding. Two upbeat reports about the economy failed to keep stocks from tumbling lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 114 points to 91.79. The NASDAQ was down 28 points to 1648, and the S&P 500 dropped 15 points to 994. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags, all ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I think the mic was open. I was clearing my throat. I apologize. Willie T. over at Democratic Underground sent me something that's posted there at DU. It's a quote from R.A. Fleischer's father. I guess you all have heard about this. Apparently, Alan Fleischer, who is R.A. Fleischer's father, he's also a lifelong Democrat. And this is a quote making the rounds over the Internet. I don't know where else. But this is Alan Fleischer, Ari's father. Quote, I guess if Ari had to rebel, being a Republican is better than being on drugs, but not by much. Thanks, Willie T. All right. Before we come back to your calls and appreciate your patience. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say something. When... for some reason tonight, it seems like we're ending these phone calls fairly abruptly. I apologize for that. My producer tells me that it's not good to carry calls over a break and to try to tighten up just a little bit. So I apologize for it sounds very much like, especially the callers, it's like, okay, thanks, you had your say, goodbye. I don't mean it to sound that way. We're just trying to tighten up a little bit on the flow of time here. So no offense intended about ending these some of the phone calls when the music starts to play and it's obvious we're going into a break. I appreciate your indulgence. Ow! All right, we want to do very quickly here some Bush for you. He was, where was he today? He was at a little country, a company called Micro Control Company in Fridley, Minnesota. And, you got to love it when too stupid to be president gets in front of a small business, you know, and a handful of employees and starts talking all folksy, you know, just like, hey, you know how he does. Too bad you can't figure out what he's trying to say. But it has something to do with his glorious and wonderful tax package and job creation plan. So here he is at Micro Control Company in Fridley, Minnesota today.
You see, we understand that when things are slow in the economy, you got to increase demand for goods and services. And the best way to increase demand for goods and services so that somebody will produce a good or a service, and when somebody produces a good or a service, somebody's more likely to find work, is to let people keep more of their own money.
Yeah, you see how that works? It's just like one great big circle. Yeah!
See, we understand that when things are slow in the economy, you've got to increase demands for good and services. And the best way to increase demand for good and services so that somebody will produce a good or a service, and when somebody produces a good or a service, somebody is more likely to find work, is to let people keep more of their own money. Jesus, God! And the people sit there and go, yup, you know, by God, that's the truth. Yup. Now, in this little soundbite, too stupid to be president is thanking the owner of the small business, and then he starts talking about mechanical shakers. Now, he's still at Micro Control Company, and this is very important. He's talking here about mechanical shakers.
I also want to thank the Hamiltons, Harold and Eleanor, for opening up their business. Harold told me that he started his business at the kitchen table. So I asked Harold, I said, you've seen the tax bill, you've seen what, I'm sure you've looked at the consequences of what this means for your company. He said, yeah, it means it's more likely we're going to hire a mechanical shaker. I didn't know what it meant. But I do know this, somebody's going to have to manufacture the mechanical shaker.
Yeah, what if it's a human being, you moron? What if a mechanical shaker is like, you know, I wonder if George thinks a car mechanic is something you have to manufacture. I mean, a mechanical shaker. Hi, Mr. Bush, my name's Oswald, and I'm the mechanical shaker here. What do you mean somebody's going to have to manufacture it? I have parents. Jesus. Here he is again. He talks about another personal story, okay? This is about some guy who wants to buy software. His name's Brian, and this is Bush getting all folksy and just trying to be normal, even though he's just rabidly insane. He's just like a dog frothing at the mouth in the heart of Birmingham, Alabama, in the middle of August when the temperature is 107 degrees in the shade. But here he is. You're going to talk about Brian.
I met Brian Dahl. What he wants to do to stay competitive is to purchase additional software. The tax bill that I signed provides incentives for Brian to purchase software so that his company is more productive. As he purchases the software, somebody has got to make it and sell it to him. And that somebody means that they're more likely to stay at work.
What? And that somebody means that they're more likely to stay at work.
Now, you know, I'm very naive and I'm not very well educated. I never graduated college, but and the computer has been something that has just opened up my life only in the past 3 or 4 or 5 years. But dear sweet Jesus, the most expensive software I've ever seen is about $300. So the tax bill that Bush signed provides incentives for Brian to purchase software so his company's more productive. And he purchases software, somebody's got to make it and sell it to him, and that somebody means that they're more likely to stay at work. Jesus God. It's almost funny, isn't it? If it weren't for the fact that he is putting this nation at hideous risk with every move this crime family makes, domestically, in terms of foreign relations, if it weren't for the fact that Bush is destroying America, wouldn't this stuff be funny? Huh? It's like a Monty Python sketch. It's like something during the first 4 seasons of Saturday Night Live, back when the program used to be funny. Right? But no. This is the leader of the free world. This is the guy who gets off a jet fighter or whatever the hell it was and strolls along the deck with his parachute harness so tight he's got his scrotum making his eyeballs pop out. That's who this is, you know.
Mission accomplished. What? Oh, more Americans are dying? Well, that's all right. They're expendable.
He's still at the microcontrol company in Fridley, Minnesota today, and he starts to go off on the energy plan. And the problem we have with gas in America, so technologies must be unleashed. Right? He says it. Now, well, let's just listen to him.
But we got a problem with natural gas here in America.
Whack, whack.
For the sake of this economy, we need an energy plan. I came to this good state and laid out an energy plan for Congress to consider. It was a plan that said we can do a better job of conservation, and we need to do that.
Oh, yeah, right.
We need to unleash new technologies.
Yeah, unleash new technologies. Now, of course, keep in mind that the Bush crime family is granting what? $88,000 in deductions off your income tax. If you're a business owner and you buy a vehicle that weighs more than 6,000 pounds, which is approximately the weight of 2.5 pickup trucks, right? If you buy a Humvee or an Escalade or whatever, they're going to give you an $80,000 tax break. And this lying little twerp stands there and says, we need to do a better job. His plan had to do with a better job of conservation. Either this is insanity, or Bush is so stupid that he really believes the people he talks to are stupid, or he's an alien. There is no fourth choice. I don't think. All right, last one. Here's Bush, still at Microcontrol Company in Fridley, Minnesota. Now, I thought Dick Cheney and Enron and the rest of these thieving bastards already did put together an energy plan. Do you mean this administration is almost 3 years into its corrupt existence and we don't have an energy plan in this country? I thought Cheney already put one together. Well, never mind. Maybe not. Well, here he is again, too stupid to be president, on energy and that darned old problem of false science. You know, you got to watch out for false science. False science will just leap out of the bushes and bite you on the ass when you least expect it. And by golly, they did it to us again. All these people who talk about exploration of natural gas, what it would do to certain parts of our country, you got to watch out for that false science.
And our policy thus far on exploration for natural gas has not been very consumer friendly.
Huh?
There's been a lot of false science put out about what exploration for natural gas would do to certain parts of our country.
Whack, whack.
We're a technologically capable nation.
Blah, blah, blah.
We can explore for natural gas and protect our environment. We need an energy policy.
Yeah! We love you, George! Yeah, we need a energy. No, the object you're supposed to use, you see, energy, George, starts with a vowel. So it's not a energy policy, it's an energy. Oh, never mind.
Is that an object, a particle of speech? What the hell is an? What did I say, particle? Well, that's more of that junk science, you know.
We got bad science out there. You know, there are people out there telling you that we can't punch great big ass holes in the ground and destroy everything and be environmentally friendly. What the hell are they talking about? That's the false science. Look at that damn EPA. Boy, you don't know the pressure I had to put on that stupid broad we got from New Jersey to, you know, get the hell out of town. You know, her and her damn reports. All that false science in there. Thank God the American petroleum industry is willing to step up to the plate and write the real science. Well, her ass is gone. You know? She's gone. What's her name? Risty Quitman? Risty, what's her name? Christy? Is that what it is? Whatever. Took us a while, but we got rid of her. Yeah, we did. You know who I'm going to put in there next? My old friend from East Texas Oil Pumping and Drilling Company. By God, he's going to head to EBS. Now, what do you think of that?
There's gas in our hemisphere. And the fundamental question is, where is it going to come from? I'd like it to be American gas.
Religiously, I'm speaking on the science, cause we gotta live on science alone. Look, I tell you what, mathematically, I'm having it. I wanna live on science alone.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Peter Werby Show.
My website, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in, and in fact, they called in to that 800 number, some right-wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, he says, anywho, you really suck, and anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic. Oh, my gosh.
Well, he did say something about, he says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what he meant. But you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right? But you know how ornery I actually am, right? And so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess because what you're supposed to have is buttons,
texture,
scroom.
Or something like that.
Scroom. That's what I say. I'm keeping it messy.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
Why not get something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Can't think of anything more logical and more commonsensical than to understand our hemisphere.
Do you understand a hemisphere? Can you say hemisphere? Can you say commonsensical?
Ooh.
You know, sometimes you wonder, when will Tom Daschle finally learn that you don't cooperate on any level with anybody directly, indirectly, or remotely connected to the Bush administration? For example, the White House, that would be Andrew Card, Karl Rove, and Dick Cheney, rejected a suggestion by Tom Daschle yesterday that too stupid to be president meet with Democrats before nominating any Supreme Court nominees to fill a vacancy that may come up during Bush's illegal reign to avoid a potentially bruising confirmation fight. Right? So Daschle, you know, gets where they're at. Hey, look, why don't we just sit down? the pencil neck geek responded by saying, unless and until there's a vacancy, this is idle chit-chat. Ari Fleischer went on to say, the Constitution is clear and the Constitution will be followed. He's referring, of course, to Bush's right to fill Supreme Court vacancies. Of course, what he leaves off is the advice and consent nature of the United States Supreme Court, or the United States Senate, where it concerns filling those vacancies. But you see, the Bush crime family, the Senate, they own the House. They kind of own the Senate. The problem in the Senate is you need 60 votes in the Senate, which is what they're hoping for in 2004, in order to jam your legislation through the Senate. They don't have 60. They have probably 52 when you count Zell Miller, the apostate Democrat from Georgia, who is more than happy every time the Republican leadership unzips its fly. Zell's right there.
Yo, what do you want me to do? What?
There has been speculation that too stupid to be president may soon have an opportunity to make, God help us all, his first Supreme Court nomination, possibly even two. Rehnquist is 78. Sandra Day O'Connor is 73. Both of them are sick. I'm not talking about their mental states. I'm talking about their physical conditions. They're not in good shape. And whomever Bush nominates to the Supreme Court, as you know, this is not a newsflash. This is not a newsflash. Anybody Bush nominates is going to make a huge difference on how many social issues can you come up with, Truth Seeker? Abortion, death penalty, racial questions, huh? I'm sure the list goes on and on. All right, so Tom Daschle. I don't understand this guy. I do not understand Tom Daschle. Daschle on Tuesday asked Bush to call a meeting with leaders in both parties to talk about ways to avoid a possible battle over a possible a Supreme Court nomination. Let's get together and sing Kumbaya. I'll tell you what. Let's get together. Let's all get naked and go into the White House swimming pool. The president, the vice president, and Hastert and DeLay and me, Tom Daschle, and of course Bill Frist. It'll be a real moment. We'll all get naked and get in the White House pool, and we'll talk. You know, Daschle, Tom, are you out of your mind? Daschle, in a letter to the White House, according to the Associated Press, said, should you be willing to convene a meeting of Senate leaders from both parties to begin a bipartisan process of consultation, I stand ready to participate in good faith in such a process. When are you going to learn, Tom? You know what they did with that letter when they opened it at the White House after they laughed their asses off? Well, I do a family radio program, Tom, so I can't say on the air what they did with that letter you sent. When will Tom Daschle learn? His job is not to try to work with the Bush crime family. His job is to try to stop the Bush crime family.
I'm George W. from Texas. We lead the states in dirty air. They don't vote, so I...
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Rolling strikes of janitors have brought cleaning as usual in downtown Sacramento, California, to a halt. Nearly half of the 125 properties cleaned by members of Service Employees International Union Local 1877 have so far been targeted by the strikes, which began Tuesday night. Among the buildings going uncleaned in California's capital city is the Senator Hotel, home to the state Republican Party, the Los Angeles Times and San Francisco Chronicle state capitol bureaus, and many of the capitol's top lobbyists. Bill Camp is with the Sacramento Central Labor Council.
And it's wrong that the capital of the fifth largest economy in the world is having the buildings cleaned by people who make less than poverty wages and no family health care.
Talks broke down a week ago when employers offered the union a 20-cent raise over the next 4 years and family health benefits that would kick in only after 5 years of service.
It's an historic victory for Walmart workers. An administrative law judge with the National Labor Relations Board yesterday handed down the first ever decision forcing Walmart to recognize a union at a store in Jacksonville, Texas. Meat cutters in the store's deli section voted to join the United Food and Commercial Workers Union more than 3 years ago. After the vote, Walmart did away with custom cuts and only offered prepackaged meat, shifting the affected workers into new jobs and effectively doing away with all butcher positions. In his ruling, however, NLRB Judge Keltner Locke says Walmart violated the National Labor Relations Act by refusing to bargain with the workers during the transition. As a result, Walmart must restore the butcher positions in the Jacksonville store and begin bargaining with those workers on a first contract, which would include conditions under which their job duties may be changed.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. You know, that really is a shame with Daschle. When our senior correspondent Chris in Minnesota sent me this story today, he had the question, whatever happened to...
We're going to Washington, D.C. to change the tone.
Remember that? That things had gotten so partisan in D.C. during the Clinton years. Of course, that's thanks to punks and rat bastards like Newt Gingrich and Henry Hyde and the Arkansas Project and Richard Mellon-Skelly. Yeah, the list just goes on and on. So they corrupt the tone, and then they say, well, now, you know, the adults are coming. We're going to change the tone. It's going to be civil. Everybody's going to wear a coat and tie, and there will be no oral sex in the Oval Office. You can count on that. They're going to change the tone. So here we are 3 years into this this corrupt regime, and Tom Daschle, poor old Tom. You know, it's very difficult not to get nasty and insulting with Tom Daschle, you know, and say something like, poor old stupid brain-dead Tom Daschle. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for Tom Daschle to understand that he's trying to cut deals with Jack the Ripper? He runs for re-election, and they compare him to Saddam or Osama bin Laden. You know, come on. But, you know, there, well, you know, and I don't know what Daschle thinks. Does he think that plays well with the American people? Oh, look, the Democratic Party is being very calm and moral and nice and fair and balanced. Is that what we think? No. The Republicans look at Daschle and call him a weenie. Democrats look at him and wish the hell he'd get out of town. Trying to work with the Bush White House. I think that we should be willing to convene a meeting of Senate leaders from both parties to begin a bipartisan process of consultation for next Supreme Court nominees. And, you know, I stand... That's a pretty good Tom Daschle, isn't it? You know, I stand ready to participate in good faith in such a process. Tom, they look at you like you're a weenie. You're just a weenie. A spokesman for Daschle expressed disappointment yesterday at Ari Fleischer's comments, apparently ruling out any meeting between Bush and Democrats on the issue. His spokeswoman, Ranit Schmelzer, said no one was questioning Bush's authority to act on his own in filling federal judicial vacancies. She said, quote, "We're just asking for a little civil discourse on this bipartisan discourse." Oh, come on. Are you people out of your minds? They will open up your throat. They will rip out your carotid arteries. They will twist them into knots. You're Democrats. Well, we think a meeting would be good. We could all get naked and go swimming in the White House pool. And Jesus. Again and forever, how often does Tom Daschle have to be handed his ass by these people before he realizes that they are willing to cooperate with him in the same way that they're really looking for Osama bin Laden? Okay? Which means zip, zero, nada, no way, nothing, nacht, nicht. There's old Tom Daschle. Can we get together? Oh, all right. Time to move on. Adam is calling from Chicago. Hey, Adam, our Polish correspondent.
Well, I don't have any conspiracy theory against, you know, except what I already sent you before.
Yeah?
But you made me really, really scared with Tom Daschle's story. It looks like this whole Bush cabal is just too big for him. I just feel sorry for Tom Daschle.
Oh, well, okay. We can feel sorry for him, but shouldn't we also, shouldn't Democrats say, Tom, get the hell out of the way? There's got to be at least one Democrat in the Senate who will say to the Bush thugs, look, it's going to be blood on the tracks, boys. Blood on the tracks. Get your scalpels out. Get your knives and guns. You want to whip ass, you're going to have to bring ass. You know, that's what the Daschle or somebody should be saying.
Yeah, I don't know what they have. I don't know if they keep his children hostage or what else is impossible. It looks lately like our society just consists of two segments, you know. One is the mechanical shakers.
The mechanical shakers, right.
Those will be the ones which go and clap on all these Bush appearances
and
applaud them. And then you have those guys calling Rush Limbaugh. I call them a dildo heads, right?
You know, I think Daschle represents a time when there was civil discourse. Whether it was productive or not is open for debate. But there was civil discourse. among not just members of the Senate of the two different parties, but back and forth between the executive branch and the legislative branch. He kind of, I don't know how long Daschle has been in power, either in the House or the Senate, but he must be a throwback to that not so long ago era when Democrats and Republicans could still talk. This would be obviously before Newt Gingrich. So we're only talking about eight, nine, 10 years ago. Now, there was heavy-duty partisanship. I'm not saying that there wasn't. But this Republican Party, this corrupt, filthy Republican Party, takes no prisoners, tells the rest of the world to go pound sand up its collective ass. It will do what it wants domestically and in the foreign arena. They don't care. They are killers. They are disrespecters of life. They say to hell with all of you. So there's Tom Daschle from this more genteel era way back 10 years ago saying, maybe we could get together and discuss bourgeois. Sorry, Adam, I just...
Yeah, we need someone to... Well, I remember from the old days when I lived on the other side of the Iron Curtain.
I was going to say, why don't you go up there? You know, you're part of that... You remember Jaruzelski, don't you?
Yeah, sure, of course, you know. And there was people who say, well, he saved the country, otherwise the Ruskis would come and just slaughter all of us.
Yeah,
know,
right.
Stuff like that. And then there's total control on the media. Well, you know, Russians or Soviets, I guess.
Soviets,
they had the two kinds of... Well, they had the two major newspapers. One was called Pravda.
Mm-hmm.
And this translates the truth.
Truth.
And the second one was Izvestia.
Right.
And that translates the news.
Right.
And the obvious question was, why did they need two newspapers? Obviously, they had to keep these two things separate, you know?
Right.
They couldn't let the truth mix with the news. And actually, it was the people who were saying, well, there is no truth in the Pravda, and there is no news in the...
Exactly.
In the news, Izvestia. Yeah. Now, I called for... Because earlier on, you asked the question, why this... And this is like from hour and a half ago. Why these people are destroying everything? And I don't know if I'd be repeating you or someone else, but someone says that they don't believe that world has to last any longer. There's just a few more years.
Right, right.
And they don't care. So and environment doesn't matter, you know. The middle class, the tax base doesn't matter because then Jesus will come, and no matter what bad things we do, He loves us, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will be, you know, it's difficult for me to say that because I still consider myself a Catholic, and every time I hear someone referring to Christians, I say, no, this is not me. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, these people don't represent real Christians, whether they're Catholic or Protestant.
And I understand, you know, if I would be raised in this country, I probably would be atheist by now.
That's happened to a lot of us. If not atheist, certainly agnostic, or certainly not willing to accept what these people say as Christianity.
This is total perversion. I mean, this is just unbelievable. I made a mistake talking about this at work once, and I got the complete rundown on the book of Revelation, so I have to go back home and start reading that.
that's scary, man. It is scary. As far as I'm concerned, John, I guess it was the apostle, somebody named John. As far as I'm concerned, and I don't mean any disrespect whatsoever here, but there are two theories. He was writing, obviously, allegorically. Matter of fact, I have somebody on hold who...
That's the accepted version, you know?
Well, he was either writing allegorically, or he was writing in reference to the Roman Empire, or he had found some of those wonderful mushrooms or cactus buds growing out in the desert someplace in Turkey and just gotten higher than a kite and started writing this stuff going, whoa, yeah, man, a seven-headed whore, yeah! You know,
mushrooms,
that kind of stuff.
Mushrooms was in Utah, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Adam, good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
All right, sir. Take care. Now, I have somebody on the line here who might be able to much more thoroughly explain Revelation. That would be our caller from Hyde Park, Illinois, John. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going, pal.
Now,
the reason I reference you is because, for people who don't know, you were... get me right. You were either studying seminary, or you're a theologian, or you're studying to be a theologian, or whatever. I remember you told me when I've come to your house and sat around and drank beer and played with your kid, Chris. And Chris? Yeah, that's
Jake.
Right. Jake, that's right. Same name as my grandson.
Well,
Theologian? What? What were you studying?
Theologian. I'm in the process of writing the dissertation.
For your PhD?
Yeah. Last summer I lectured in Dubrovnik on religion and violence.
Wow.
You know, all sorts of things. But Revelation, which is actually, I teach scripture, Revelation, it was written about the Roman Empire. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
In which my kids, the kids I teach, you know, they're all interested. By the time we get to the end of the Bible, they're interested in the book of Revelation. And then they find out, you know, that this whole 666 thing, in some manuscripts it was 666.
Right.
In other manuscripts it was 616. And,
right.
You know, one of them it was Ronald Reagan. And
Ronald Wilson Reagan.
There you go.
666, that's his name, right. Ronald Wilson Reagan. So, you know, we had the beast in the White House for 8 years.
Yeah, we've got a few of them up there now.
But the reason you really called.
Yeah, the reason, well, it all ties in. The reason, you know, what you were talking about with Daschle. Well, the reason I wanted to call, I had a real smarmy remark about George Bush being proof that private education is destroying this country.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not a Democrat. I'm a little bit to the left of the Democrats. And,
right.
But I think it's time that people like me join the Democrat Party, because these guys apparently, and women, apparently have no intestinal fortitude to stand up against and be an opposition party with some sort of positive program.
Right.
I mean, they're Bart Kopp calls them what? Pink tutu Democrats. They're grab your ankles Democrats, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you need some baseball bat carrying Democrats around. I mean, what the hell is wrong with these people?
Well, you know, as Bart Kopp parodies Daschle, you know, Daschle's always sitting there with his head, chin in his hands, with his pink tutu on. Now, come on, we all have to get along. He is our president. We love our president. And I agree with you. I do not understand the spinelessness, the gutlessness, Where's the fire in the Democratic Party? I understand that Kucinich has some. I understand that Dean has some. I understand that all of a sudden John Kerry is starting to find his spine. Bob Graham has got his issue about 9-1-1. But where's the Democratic Party leadership?
Yeah.
You know, where's the fire? Where are the guys who came out of the old Democratic Party? A lot of them were union organizers. A lot of them were the old smoky backroom politicians who would try to reason with you. And if that didn't work, they would invite you outside and kick your ass.
I mean, the scariest guy you got right now is what, Robert Byrd?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, quite frankly, if I was
Cicero,
in a football, you know.
Yeah, you don't want Cicero to come to your aid. You want Hannibal.
Hannibal, that's right.
That's who you want.
We need some Hannibal Democrats.
God. Oh, well. Maybe you should consider joining the Democratic Party.
Thinking about running for vice president.
Oh, you get
me and Big Time Dick on the stage.
Yeah, you get my vote, pal. Good to hear from you, John.
All right,
sir.
Take
don't
care, Mike.
Don't be a stranger.
I will not.
You very seldom call in. Don't be a stranger. Appreciate hearing from you.
All right, Mike.
All right, take care. Nice man. He's going to be one hell of a Dr. John theologian. Dear God, watch out, Christianity. Here comes the mighty sword of truth. Whoa. Can you imagine that, Gaddy? When we lived in Chicago, we went to, I think twice, we went down to John's apartment in Hyde Park section of where the University of Chicago is in Chicago. And get together with some of the listeners that listened to the program. John would have these Sunday afternoon soirees, and we'd get together and drink beer and raise hell and talk about the weirdness of it all. And I used to think back then, I knew John was, even back then, he was, I believe, he was working on his PhD in theology. And I thought, wow, can you imagine unleashing this guy on the Christian faith? Whoa! Truth! Justice! John is calling from near Philadelphia. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Do I have you?
Yeah. Here you are, John.
Damn, I was afraid you were going to pick me up when I was in the can or something.
Oh, it sounds like you're calling from a can. Can you hear me?
I got you right now.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, I had you on speakerphone. Yeah, I wanted to.
Well, wait. We're still on speakerphone. It's not working.
What's going on here?
Now it's working. Stay right there. Are you there? John. All right, call back, John. We'll take your call. I don't know what was going on. Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, a couple of comments and a question. Yeah, Kucinich won a straw poll the other day. Wow.
Well, that's not a bad thing. Are you registered to vote on MoveOn.org? You know, they're having their presidential primary on June 24th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got tons of email.
Good.
Yeah. I got a question for you. By the way, on the AP today about the Southern Baptists, they're all going to burn in hell. I mean,
we all
know that. I mean, I've already confirmed that a long time ago. They didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. But
right.
I got a question. If the majority of the American people didn't buy into Al Gore in 1988, what made the DLC think the majority of voters would vote for him in 2000?
Well, but the majority of voters did vote for Al Gore.
Well, and now
he got more. He got more votes, more of the popular vote than Bush and Nader put together.
Well, yeah, but now Gore Borhor wants to start a progressive TV network. Why?
Well, I frankly hope he succeeds at it. I'd love to see that happen. I'd like to see some competition for this network. I'd like to see him come up with a cable channel. I hope he succeeds at all of it. Patrick, got a boogie. Thanks for your call. Stick around. Last break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Wake up and smell the java. Sit up and pay attention. Stand up for...
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be
on all day, 24-7, yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by goodwill and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or a fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
It's about five before the hour. There's John, still near Philly, I hope.
And, you know, the mechanical shaker on my phone is malfunctioning.
Right. Well, that happens often, you know.
You know, I had a thought for you about this. When you think about the motivation of the Bush cartel in really destroying America, in destroying the country, you know, from a foreign policy point of view, from an infrastructure point of view, from an educational point of view, an environmental point of view, and you ask yourself, how does it make sense? I mean, how can you possibly do this?
Right.
Well, pretty soon, you must be led to the conclusion, well, does his allegiance lie elsewhere? I mean, one would like to think that the president at least would have his first allegiance to this country. But there's where I think you have to ask the fundamental question. Is his allegiance to this country?
Or to the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, maybe?
Yes, sort of. I believe it is really towards probably the top 200 global corporations, the top 200 of the Fortune 500 companies. And if you look at their motivation is always short-term in goal. They have their goals are short-term. They're never long-term. It's the maximization of short-term income. I'm kind of embarrassed that I have an MBA, too, and so does...
Well, you have a real one. I'm sure you worked for yours.
Oh, right. Hey, when I hear him say good, you know, speech betrays thought.
Really?
If you aren't able to articulate at least a sentence which will parse every now and then, your thinking can't be anywhere near a rational person. And
really?
To say good... I mean, got good in service. I mean, that's economics 101.
I know. You can't expect. The reason we play those sound bites, and I'm sure you know this, John, is just to mock this moron. There is nothing there for any rational human being to derive anything. There's nothing in his statements. I don't care what the statements are. Even the carefully prepared statements put together by Karl Rove or Andy Card or Dick Cheney. But I love it when he tries to talk off the cuff because he's just unbelievably, terminally stupid. And that's the reason. We don't play it to enlighten anybody. Hey, there's the music. John, thanks for checking in.
All right, buddy.
Got a boogie. Call in sometime before the end of the program.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, take care. Michael Ruppert. And the topic, peak oil, tomorrow night. Be here. If you don't know what we're talking about, go to fromthewilderness.com. Stephanie Stryker engineered the program in Detroit tonight. Catherine Bay produced it here in Atlanta. Thanks to Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive. Visit the site, MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't gone, you know what you're missing. And thanks to Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. See you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call, 1-800.